Good to be with you all. 15 feet. It was in practice. Didn't set records. Good to be with you all. We are in part four of this series, and I am super excited about the message, about where we are as a church, not just today in this series, but even in history and in light of the pandemic. And I'm believing God is going to do powerful things through us as a church as we continue to live sent together moving forward. 3 weeks ago, I stood on this stage and I said, our hope and intent through this series is to build our whole church up, unity around living sent together this year. And the church, it is happening. It's exciting to watch. We're living sent together. Week one, we saw that people who gather together, and we use Lego bricks to remind us that we are created to connect with others, and it's time to build again. And we all have a part to play in this church, and it matters that you're here, and we miss it. We miss you when you're not here and not present. And we are gathering. We have dozens and dozens of people meeting in home groups on the campus and in the city. We have over 540 people rostered in our groups right now. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Continue to gather this year as a church. Week two, we talked about serving together and the beauty we saw in the church that serves together. The church is more effective when we serve together. And Greg asked us to share and give what God has given us to share and give. And this is happening too, my word, we're doing it. We had Scarlet Cleanup. There were over 80 people that came out. It was so much fun. Cleaning up trails, picking up trash, laying down new wood chips on the trails and different things. My son and I were out there. We got to meet some new college students. He loved walking around with a saw, cutting trees down. He's 8 years old, living in his element. And last week, we talked about being a people who pray together and how prayer is not how we defend ourselves. It's how we go on offense. And we are praying together, church, on Sundays, in home groups, with your family members, roommates, and on your own with Jesus. And today, church, today is about becoming a people who testify together. Jesus is our message, and there is nothing that can stop that message from getting out. And I want us to look at how is that going to happen today. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this morning, for the gift it is to gather together. Jesus, I pray that you would light a fire in our hearts, in our bones, that compels us to share and testify to others. Jesus, give us the courage to live sent together so that the world may know you love them. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out. If you don't own one, we have free ones at the table out back. We'd love for you to take one as a gift. We are going to have the scriptures on the screen so you can follow along, but we're going to be in Acts chapter 5, continuing as we go through Acts. And we've been following the early church through the book of Acts in this series. And a few key players to our story today are the 12 apostles. So these are those who walked with Jesus, followed Jesus through 3 years of ministry, and who were given the special work of helping start the church through their prayers, preaching, and teaching. These are the 12 apostles. Apostle means a messenger, a sent one, especially someone sent out by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel. And all 12 of them together in our story today, which is one of the reasons I think this story is so powerful for us. When we live sent together, we experience together where courage is born out of our mutuality and our resolve is strengthened through our shared experience. This happens in so many places in life. When you have a shared experience together, you have memories. It solidifies bonds. It strengthens you in your relationships. And there is power in how they are living together. The other main players are the Sanhedrin. This is the high council of religious leaders in Jerusalem who are the very people who arrested Jesus, tried him, and condemned him. They're not fans of Jesus or his followers. And so these are the two parties that we're going to see. So picking up in Acts chapter 5, verses 12, it says, "The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them." And so I have a picture, just so you can get an essence of what's going on here. This is Solomon's Colonnade. This is the whole Temple Mount. That orange roof or red roof on the south side, that was like the King Herod's. It's like double-deckered. But that whole right wall on the south side here, it looks south to us, but that's the eastern wall in front of the temple. That was Solomon's
porch, as they would call it, or his colonnade. It was built right off the wall, and then there's two lines of pillars. It's about 40-some feet high, 20 to 40-some feet wide, and runs the entire length. And this is where they met. And I don't know if you knew this, but Pastor Greg, who preached in week two, he has a porch, and he loves to do what he calls stooping. You just sit and chill. And I was just laughing this week that that's how God started his church, with everyone just stooping in Solomon's colonnade. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as they went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. So God is doing crazy things. He's showing up with his Holy Spirit and in power. He's healing people. He's freeing people. He's testifying through word and deed that he is who he says he was, that he didn't just die, that he rose from the dead. He's still at work, and people are placing their faith in him. What happened there? That's not yet. We'll get to that. Save that for later. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. And so the high priest, and these are the high priest, the ruling council of the Sanhedrin, we're going to get to that, but it was comprised mostly of Pharisees and Sadducees, and the Sadducees are the ones that are talking at this and taking offense and are jealous. And a couple things you need to know about the Sadducees is they don't believe in these three things. They don't believe in the immortality of the soul. So the fact that your soul dies with the body is what they believe, that you don't live on forever in this. They don't believe in the resurrection of the body, and they don't believe in the existence of angels. And angels were spiritual messengers who perform missions for God. And what's fascinating about this is they're jealous because, and they're frustrated because Jesus embodies, he is the resurrection of the dead. He rose from the dead, proclaiming that we have life not now, but forever after. So the existence of this teaching is counter to their entire existence. It combats what they want to stand on and believe. And I think it's comical that they don't believe in angels because listen to this. They threw him in public jail, but an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. You see, they can't contain the message. They can't even contain God's people. And I think it's comical that Jesus is like, yeah, you don't believe in these? Well, I'm just going to use these angels to let them loose. And he says, go to the temple and give them this message of life. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The very message about Jesus brings life, new life to anyone who accepts the message and who Jesus is, what he has done, and believe in Jesus as their helper, their savior, their leader. And he says, go to the temple and give the people this message. Church, Jesus is our message, and there is nothing that can stop that message from getting out. And Jesus invites us to testify together, to witness what we have experienced in and through Jesus. Why would he do this? Because Jesus is building his church, and he chooses to work through each and every one of us to do it. From the first 12 apostles that we see here in Scripture to every believer in this room and on planet Earth right now, you can't stop the message, and you certainly can't stop God. He's got messengers who will perform his mission that some people don't even believe exist. And then what happens? So what do? It says at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. And it was at that point that the whole Sanhedrin comes together. I have a picture for this, the Sanhedrin. This is basically what it is. You'd have 71 elders. The high priest is one, 35 on each side, a couple people sitting at desks, scribes, and they may have some elders sitting on the other benches. But this is the environment in the temple where they would call the 12 apostles in and basically talk to them. And so they sent for the messengers. They sent the guards to go get the apostles. And it says the guard comes back and he says, well, we found everything securely locked up just as we left it. But when we opened the door, there was no one in there. So everyone's just like in shock. It's like, what is going on here? And it says the whole Sanhedrin is like, where will this end? What is going on in the midst of this? And right about that moment, someone shows up who had just run from the other side of the temple and was like, hey, those men who you put in jail, they're back over there in the porch teaching about Jesus. And for me, that was the moment where I just think of like a movie where you put someone takes something, they move it, they turn around, it's there again. So yes, you already saw the meme. This is it. This is basically the apostles. So they're taken out of the game. Sanhedrin's like, good riddance. And they're back in the game. If you didn't catch what's going on, this is what's happening, playing out in front of them. And so then they go, okay, if they're there, they send the captain of the guard. They go get them civilly because they are fearful of the people. They don't want to cause unrest. They bring all 12 in, and they're standing before this entire room of people, the whole Sanhedrin. And this is what he says. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. And this is where, when he's saying we gave you strict orders to never teach in this man's name, this wasn't the first time. This was the second time that they've stood before, at least Peter and John. This is the first time for all of them together. But Peter and John, in chapter 4, they had healed someone who had been disabled since birth, and it caused such an uproar that they brought them in, put them in jail. And in that time, they didn't know what to do. They were like, well, by what authority do you do this? And they were saying, it's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit in his people. And so they were so frustrated, but the people were so impacted by the message of Jesus, they were fearful to touch them in any way. And they just said, go away and don't talk about him again. Clearly, the apostles have not been listening. And so they're pretty frustrated in this moment. And they say to them, instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. It says then, but Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor as right hand, as prince and savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. How do you think that made him feel? That they have the Holy Spirit, those who obey him, speaking to all the religious leaders. It says, when they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. This is not a small moment. They're in this room. This is the same high council that just months before handed Jesus over and had him killed. Not sure what was going through their minds. But it says, but one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care that what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was a fellow Theudas who had pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed and all his followers went various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. So my advice, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown, which is what he believed. He believed this was not of God. This is just some people on their own. It's going to be overthrown. They don't believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. So they believe Jesus is dead, his body's somewhere. And this is all just a story, so let it go. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. He could not be speaking more soundly and more truth in that moment. And what's amazing to me is that as his apostles, who are sent to testify by God, just released from prison, are now standing and condemned, they want to kill him. He sends them out, and what does God do? He speaks through this guy that we don't know if he's a believer. Likely not. And he's defending them. Do you see it? God is defending his people. He's defending his messengers. He's not going to have them held back. And it says the others accepted his advice. And so they called in the apostles and had them flogged. So all 12 were whipped together. Powerful experience. And then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Where have you heard this message? To stay silent. to not speak about Jesus because it exists in our culture. It exists in our own heads. We have real social pressure to not talk about our faith in this country. We believe talking about Jesus will put us in a box, or it could end relationship. It could cause me to be alone. Truth is, I was on a date with my wife before the pandemic, outdoors, and we were walking along, and there was an older couple eating their meal. And we love older couples. My wife loves old couples that have the moments. And so we went by, and we got to talking with them. And we just said, hey, it's so encouraging to see you guys, blah, blah, blah. They shared their story. I mean, these are like Ann Arborites. When they unpacked their history, where they're from, their jobs, they were all into it. They asked my wife. She said, I'm a nurse. I work at U of M. They were just like, oh, that's so good. They were so into it. And then they turned and said, what do you do? And in that moment, I was like, I could say something like, I lead people, or I invest in long-term futures. Like, I could say all kinds of things. And I was like, no. I said, I'm a pastor of a local church in town. And I'd like to say the conversation opened up. But no, those doors shut very fast. They looked back at their meal, barely made eye contact, and were like, good, nice to meet you. Have a good day. Like, that was it. It was like over. Relationship over when they heard I'm a pastor. It was like any potential that this could go towards Jesus, and they're like, wall, shut it off. And it can be hard, and we can think people are rejecting us, but they aren't. They're rejecting Jesus and wrestling with God in their own life. And many are just in process. They don't accept the message or your testimony. They're just in process. Maybe you're sowing seeds. Maybe you're watering seeds that someone else sowed. Maybe there's going to be fruit. It's just someone else is going to get to see it. We're all playing a part, and God's building his church. What's kept you from not speaking about Jesus? The apostles had many reasons to stop, but they didn't. And when they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus and let go, it says the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the message, Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah, he's the key to every lock. There's nowhere he's not in charge. He's how we got here, and he's how we're going to get out. He's our message. He's our future. He's our destination. The religious leaders couldn't even stop the apostles from getting out of jail. You think they can stop the message about Jesus from spreading? Not a chance. Jesus is building his church, and we are invited to participate, to share and testify, and to walk in the authority of Jesus as we go. When I was in high school, I would be late sometimes. You can imagine that. And sometimes I would have to go to the office, and the head office administrator would take out a hall pass, and they had a stamp, and they would stamp it. And with that stamp, like, you could be late to class, or you could go to the library, or whatever. You had the authority of the office administrator as you went through the hall. Pretty awesome. Do you think I hung my head when I had that, or did I walk with, like, I'm good? Yeah, I had my head up high. My head was held up high. Just so happened that the head office administrator was my mother. And it didn't take long in high school to realize that the stamp she uses in the office is the same stamp in our desk at our office at home. So I acquired some unused hall passes, and I stamped every one of those at home. Kept them in my backpack, kept them in my locker. Friends got to use them. I mean, we walked in the authority of someone higher than ourselves, and it didn't matter if we were late or if we needed to go to the library. What's crazy is we in America, in the church, we walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. How can we possibly bear the name of Jesus and hang our head? This should not be so. We should not be ashamed of the name of Christ. Romans 1, 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, and the scriptures say it is through faith that the righteous person has life." We walk in the power and the authority of the one who gives life, who created all, who gives us breath, and we know him. We live in relationship with him. That is such authority to walk with and to share who he is to those around us. It's so powerful. We talked about what this even means in week one. We gave out these, the discipleship pathway. And on the one side is the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. It's about what Josiah was saying in worship earlier today where he said, we use our life, our whole being, our very breath as a gift to God. Why? Because of what he's done for us. And we don't hang our heads about it. We walk in his authority and his power. And the flip side of this, as we've been talking about the discipleship pathway, it's about a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of mission, community, and a lifestyle of mission. It's about living devoted, living committed, and living sent. And I'm zooming this in so you guys can see the mission, living sent, that we love our neighbors and we make disciples. It's about getting to know people outside well enough to serve them and then going out of our way to serve them. And it's about telling someone who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting your life. This is the pathway. And over the past 6 months, Chandler Barnes, who works with North Campus, he's on the communications team, he's done some announcements from time to time. He and I, yep, you can give some props to him. Awesome guy, man of God. He and I have been dreaming and thinking and praying, reading, spending a ton of time in the gospel and going, what does it look like for us to live this out here, to live sent? How can we help all of us stay focused on this, be reminded of this? And we believe the Lord had helped refine all of our thinking and discerning down to a single tool that we put in front of you today. It all kind of coalesced. The Lord led us to this over the summer. And so a special thanks to Chandler for his work on this, and a thanks to Shepherd for making it look awesome. You can pull this out. You should have got one when you came in. If you didn't, you can grab one on your way out. And we are going to have it on the screen for those who are at home so you can actually see what we're talking about. I believe this is a tool that could help us engage over 3,000 people for God's kingdom this year. And over time, help us to see 1,000 people place their faith in Jesus. Why? Is it the tool that's special? No, this is just for us. No one else may need to see this. But it brings focus and clarity and will help us live sent together. The beginning is John 20:21. It says, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's our commission. We are called to live sent with him. And first and foremost, this is about prayer. I'm not going to read all the words on it. I'll let you do that on your own. But it's about spending time with God. And in particular, under the get to know, the serve, and the share, there's three lines. Each of those lines is for a different person. And we're inviting every single one of you this year to have one of these and to fill out 9 different names that you have prayed about, that you believe God has brought to mind, or you just may, you go, I don't even know what that looks like. It could just be people that come to mind as you're thinking. That barista that I know, that I don't really know much about him, but I'd like to get to know him a little bit more. Or that neighbor that you're like, you know what? I could give them help. I could serve them in some way. And so it's 3 names that you're listening and trying to write down. People that you want to get to know, that you feel like the Lord wants to move towards, 3 people to serve, and 3 people to share with. And we talk about sharing. It's not just about the gospel. When we said that, it's about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. Yes, that is the gospel, but also how is Jesus impacting your life? Because more times than not, people may have already heard about Jesus or they know some little bit. They may need the gospel clarified, but a lot of times they're like, well, what difference does he make today? Because the reality that we know is it's not just about seeing Jesus and what he has for us for eternity. It's about walking with Jesus today in relationship. It's about seeing how beautiful he is and letting other people experience how beautiful he is in our own relationship to where they could taste and see and experience who God is the same way you have tasted and seen and experienced Jesus in your own life. And that could be as simple as, like, the other day, I had some anxiety in my life. And I was like, I'm recognizing it, going, wow, why am I anxious? And I think of a verse, what am I anxious about? And I go to God in prayer, and I say, Lord, give me your peace. He gives me a peace that passes understanding. What did I stand on? A scripture, a truth. And I can say, honestly, peace came. I didn't have any more anxiety. I was good. I can share that with anyone and leave it up to them and be like, well, that just seems hokey pokey. Or they're like, maybe there's something to that. And God starts using scriptures that they've heard over the years. His word is living and active. We have no idea how God will work if but we're willing to trust him. If you're someone who wants to give it all to Jesus and to see Jesus change hearts and lives for eternity, this is for you. And there is suffering and there is sacrifice, but there's also great power and great joy. And it is worth it. Because the beauty in all this is it's a simple tool. What I'm most excited about is as we look at this, we talked in week one about it's time to build. This is a way to keep a focus in that. It's a way to, who can we get to know? Who can we serve? Where is God at work around me? Can I join in what he's doing? And prayer. It's not defense. It's offense. It's praying over those around us, specifically that God has put in front of us. Praying that God would move in their life. He would become real in their life. That he would move mountains in their life. And they would be overwhelmed at the grace and the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. And I saw this whole room light up and get excited because we shot a few shirts with a slingshot today. I'm telling you, when you see a life transformed by Jesus and you can recognize that only Christ did that work, it's like that times 1,000 to experience God moving in the life of someone else. Will we be a people who are willing to take risks for the sake of God's kingdom for others? Will you join us in this season? Because at one point, every one of us was someone else's bookmark. People that prayed for us, took a risk on us, and were bold to get to know us, to serve us, to share with us. Where would we be if someone else didn't risk for God's kingdom by engaging us first? This could be your step of faith this week, is to take time, go through this, put down 9 names that you're going to trust and believe Jesus for this year. We dream of showing people Jesus, and we are believing God to see 1,000 people place their faith in Jesus and countless more liberated from the bondage of sin and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm really excited about with this is we said there were 540 rostered in groups. Well, if you just take a conservative number, just go 400. If 400 of us commit to this year, and we write down 9 names, and we pray for them regularly, and we seek to get to know them, and we seek to serve those people, and we seek to share in some way what Christ is doing, 3,600 people will be engaged this year. Yeah, that's awesome. And if just 5% of those people made a decision to say, I want to trust and follow Jesus, to place their faith in him, that's 180 people. And do you realize that in our vision, there's like 6 more years in this decade that we're trying to walk out. If we did this consistently for 6 more years, we would see 1,080 people come to Christ. This is not, well, let's just hope for it. This is commitment. This is saying we're going to live sent. We're going to believe God for these people in our life, each and every one of us, and collectively, we're going to live sent together, and God is going to build his church in powerful ways. You will never regret movement made towards people in this framework. I guarantee it. Will you trust and risk and see what God might do as we live this out as a church? He is our Jesus. Jesus is our message. He can't be silenced. He can't be contained. He's building his church, and may we testify to it, and may we live sent together this year. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for the message of hope that you are. I thank you for how you build your church. I thank you for all that we've seen in the early church, Lord, and how you're at work, even here in our midst. God, I pray that you would minister, move the rest of this time together. Lord, I pray that you would also bring people to mind, even as we worship. Lord, would you bring people to mind that you want us to try to get to know, to serve, and to share with? And may we see you do incredible things as you work through us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.